The virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let's pray. Father, in this place today, what glory you have given by the giving of your Son, your only Son, the only begotten, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for this time of year where we remember where you gave him. We think about the birth of your Son, the birth of the Messiah, the birth of the Promised One, the long-awaited Deliverer from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden, and even until he went to the cross and came up out of the tomb 3 days later. And even now he rules and reigns in the hearts of men. You rule and reign through him in our hearts and in our lives. So Father, in this place today, we just ask that you'll bless the reading of your word. And it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Just a little context here. This is where Matthew is quoting the book of Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah was sent from the Lord to King Ahaz. If you'll remember in the days of King Ahaz, he was the king of the kingdom was divided. Israel was the northern kingdom and Judah was the southern kingdom. And the southern kingdom had King Ahaz to be their king. And this king had suffered a great loss all in one day. And so God sent Isaiah to King Ahaz with these words. And he said Israel had suffered a great defeat, and that is 120,000 people had died in one day, and that same day 200,000 taken captive, all by the king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And Ahaz was afraid, and he was afraid to ask anything of the Lord. So God gave Isaiah these words that we read here this morning as a promise that would remove his fear from complete defeat in his life. And so this sign would be given, and that is this: behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I want us to look at just three things this morning, and I'll close. First of all, the name Emmanuel. If there's any name that we could think about Christmas, we usually think Jesus and Christ, and they are magnificent names, and I'm not diminishing any of them, but if you would remember this one name, Emmanuel, because that means God with us. Something transitioned, something changed from eternity and into time and history, and the moment of Christ's conception, and then 9 months later, his birth, experienced and expressed something from God that no creation had ever seen or known or heard of before. So I want us to take this phrase, God with us, and just look at it very quickly this morning. God with us. Who is God? The Most High God. God who is all powerful. He's always been seen as the Almighty One. He is the one also who's always been unseen by man, and the one who is able to do all things. He is the King of glory. He is the Creator God. He's the one who made all things. And by him all things were made. And by him all things consist. The second part of that is with us. God with us. Listen to this. Here's the great connection. The great connection of the God of glory and humanity. Weak, frail humanity and sinful humanity. This is the great connection. Listen to these words. God arrived on earth as a vulnerable baby. Think about it. The God of glory, all might and power, the one who has spoken everything that is in the universe, some that we can see and most that we cannot see, the one who created that became a vulnerable baby, a child, a human being just like you and me. He who is all-powerful wrapped himself in perishable skin. God making a relationship with us so that he might save us. God incarnate, that is, God made a man just like us without sin. And he did that with great purpose. The unseen God now made known in his Son, Jesus Christ, the birth of Christ. Christmas is all about God becoming man and coming into human history, invading human history, if you will. The fullness of God now in human frailty, showing grace toward us. the embodiment of all that God is, given to us in one tiny little baby, the baby Jesus. This baby Jesus grew into a man, the man Jesus of Nazareth, to do the will of God. And what an amazing will it is. If we think about Christmas and do not think about the overall will of God, we miss the meaning of Christmas. You know, that's the big fight in our society right now. Who's going to win the Christmas issue? Well, it is to bring grace. Grace that is undeserved, and to bring it to all of us. And then the third part. His name, because these are the words that an angel spoke to Joseph in a dream. And the angel told Joseph that his name shall be called Jesus. So he's called Emmanuel. His name is Jesus. Let's think about the name of Jesus as we come to tie all this together. Jesus is the name above every name. The name that means Jehovah is the Savior. It comes from the word Hosea, where we get our word Hosea, the name Hosea. And then it's Joshua, as we know it. And then as it translates over to us into different languages into English, it is Jesus. Jehovah God, who's the eternal one, the eternal existent one, has become one of us to become the Savior. Jehovah is the Savior. The name that reveals that Jesus is the Lord, the all-powerful one. The one who became, and I like the way it said it in, if you heard it in the narration, the one who became an embryo. What is an embryo? The tiniest bit of humanity. The God of glory, the tiniest bit of humanity, grew into a baby, then into a man, who, as we've heard this morning, walked on the water, turned water into wine, touched the leper. He raised the dead and did many other miracles that attested to the truth and to the facts that he is God incarnate, God in the flesh. Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, revealed who God is. Without Christ being born, coming, walking among men, and having it written down for us, no man could know God. No one could know him. We could not know who he is. We'd always just be around and wonder, where did all this come from? And people still wonder today. They just reject the truth. But where did it all come from? How does it all happen? And what's the meaning of all this? And what's the purpose of all this? Philosophers have looked for millennia for answers to those questions. And we find them in the Bible, and we find them in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God, who revealed God to us, revealed his love to us, he revealed his grace to us, and his mercy. And truly, glorious, impossible. Impossible. Many people say it's impossible for a baby to be born without a father, an earthly father, and a mother. With man is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And it is so. And it was so, and that's the Christmas message. And don't let anyone change that. Don't let anyone diminish those truths from your mind or from your heart. For the world today is trying to take Christ out of this time of year. And we only let the world do that is if we forget the real meaning of Christmas. So why did he come? To suffer and to bear the punishment for our sins. To take upon himself the wrath of God for your sins and my sins, the sins of all the people of the world. Suffering and dying to deliver us from condemnation. Those who realize their sinfulness toward God can receive the forgiveness of sins. And I just make this point here, and I bring this to a close just very quickly here in just a moment. Because you see, people say, well, I believe in God. And they think that that's what qualifies them for heaven. But it isn't. It's about the purpose of God. It's about Christ and who he is and what he did. There's where we find the purpose of life and the purpose of God. God truly is love. But his love is not an open-ended love without purpose and meaning. His love is redemptive. Why was Jesus born? He was born to live and to die and to rise again from the dead for our sins and for the forgiveness of our sins. His love is redemptive and is expressed to those who humble themselves and repent and surrender and submit to the authority and to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Many people believe in God. Many people believe in Christ. They believe in the cross. They believe in the tomb. They believe in the resurrection. But they believe it's just what I believe and what I think. There's no relationship. But the relationship comes when a person realizes that there's no hope apart from the suffering and the death of Christ. And there's no hope apart from His resurrection. There's no hope apart from His giving freely the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. The purpose of His love is to forgive sins, to wash them away completely. And the true meaning of Christmas, if I might go back to the last words as I close out last Sunday morning, the real meaning of Christmas is this. It is to believe the truth. Not just mental assent, but to believe the truth by embracing Christ to the place and to the point where God is transforming you, transforming your life after the likeness of Jesus Christ. You see, the purpose of knowing Christ, the purpose of becoming a Christian, the purpose of being saved, however you want to express it, the purpose is that God is in you. Emmanuel, God with us, is now God in you through Christ. Christ in you, as Paul said, the hope of glory. I want to ask you the question this morning. Is Christmas really Christmas to you? Is Christ in you? Is He alive in you? Is He producing in you the character of God? Is He producing in your heart, in your thinking, in your life? Is He producing what God is, the nature of God, into you, into your life, into your heart, and into your mind? The world has become very professional at tearing away the truth, separating the truth of God and Christ from reality. They say, you can't see God, so how do you know He exists? Things like that just goes on and on. But you see, those who see and examine themselves out of the Word of God and see themselves a sinner before God have got to come to only one conclusion, that without Christ, without the way of God, the wrath of God abides upon us. That's what the word saved means. Saved from the wrath of God on the day of judgment. And if you know Him this morning, you can praise Him, and He's glorious to you. If you don't know Him this morning, then you're struggling. There's no victory in your life. Maybe you know Him and you are struggling. You know why? Because the philosophy of the world comes to take and infiltrate our minds and our hearts, to steal away the truth out of our life, to remove us from fellowship with the God of creation, with the Christ and the Savior who died on the cross for us. I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes. In just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. And in this hymn of invitation is for anyone and for everyone who's sitting in this place today, who you look at your life and you examine your life and you look deep into your heart and you, can you answer this question? Yes. Yes, I know Him. I know Him. He's real to me. Or is He an opinion? Is He a feeling that comes and goes? You see, there's many substitutes for the real thing. But the real thing comes through repentance and faith. The first sermon that Jesus preached was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's still the message today. I'm offering it to all of us in this place today. Repent. Repent of your sins. And turn to God. Turn to Christ with all of your heart. If you're here in this place today and you do not know Him, or you're uncertain, then today, God has brought you here to this place to hear these things. So once again, you might examine your own heart and examine your own life and see if He's real. He is real. He's the only reality in all the universe. Everything else connects up with Him.